Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, as always, sitting alongside the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, it's a short week, so we might as well quickly turn the page here to the Chicago Bears. Packers-Bears, Sunday noon kickoff at Soldier Field in Chicago. And when you look at this Bears offense, it'll look a little different than the first time the Packers and Bears met this season because of the quarterback change from Mike Glennon to the first-round draft pick Mitch Trubisky. And when you look at the Chicago offense right now, even more so than when Glennon was quarterback, they are focused on the running game. And this game on Sunday very much will come down to Jordan Howard and his production or what the Packers can do to slow him down in the backfield.
Yeah, it's really interesting how the Bears have turned back the clock this season a little bit with how they're approaching their offense. You had Mike Glennon the first couple weeks of the season, didn't go well. They really also had the second side of that coin is that the receivers have had a hard time catching the ball, the ones that have been healthy enough to do it. So they really dedicate themselves. They get Jordan Howard back. They have Tarik Cohen emerge. They're building this offense around them. So as much that was made out of Trubisky, and certainly they feel really good about this guy and what his long-term prospects are. You know, talking with one of the beat writers from the Bears last week and when they were up for the Packers and the Lions game, you know, they just said they're really asking him to make three or four plays a game right now with his arm and putting the rest on their run game and their defense to lead them there. So is that the formula for a playoff contender this year? I don't think so. But it does make them a more dynamic team than I think the one that the Packers saw at Lambeau Field in September.
Yeah, the Bears have been difficult to beat. There's no question about it. And when you look at, actually, we've talked a lot on the show about how hot the New Orleans Saints are with a six-game winning streak. You could argue the Bears were maybe the team that came the closest to beating the Saints during this hot streak of theirs. They went down to New Orleans. Their defense got some turnovers. They ran the ball. As you said, Trubisky made a couple of plays and kept him in the game, and they lost by just the one score, if I recall correctly. But you mentioned Tarik Cohen, the other rookie running back. It seems as this offense continues to evolve with Trubisky that they're using Cohen even that much more in the passing game. Right. And really, you know, Jordan Howard is the bell cow workhorse running back here. The former, I believe it's fifth round pick
out of Indiana.
Out of Indiana, a Big Ten running back. And you look at the passing game, I don't believe, and you might have the stats in front of you on your screen, I don't believe the Bears even have a pass catcher with more than 300 yards receiving this year at the midway point of the season. So, and then now they've also lost Zach Miller, the tight end, to that horrific leg injury in New Orleans, and he was a big time target in the passing game for Trubisky. So a lot of adjustments here that the Bears have made and continue to make. But first and foremost, this game is going to come down to the Packers for the Packers to stopping the run.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I think. I don't want to say make it sound easy because nothing's easy, especially with what the Packers are going through right now without Aaron Rodgers. But the definitely there's a formula there for how to attack the Bears, and it starts with defending the run. Now, mind you, you're looking at the 6th-ranked rushing offense this week. They had the 30th-ranked rushing offense last week. So it's going to be a different ballgame for them. But I think there's a lot of those same principles that apply to this thing, being able to really fill those gaps in the middle and guys defending the edge, whether it is the outside backers or the cornerbacks. That is one thing the Packers did pretty well against the Lions, how guys were able to converge. I've said, for all the issues that they've had defensively, I think this group is better than what they're given credit for against the run. But that's going to be tested this week. I mean, you do have Jordan Howard, very dynamic young guy. Came into the league last year, I think took a lot of people by surprise, a lot of fantasy football owners by surprise, and has provided a stabilizing presence for them right now to build their offense around with Trubisky. And, yeah, having Cohen now as his complement, that's probably the best 1-2 combination they've had in many years in Chicago.
Yeah, you look at this Packers run defense and what it's going to be faced with on Sunday. I think it's safe to say, for the most part, I agree with you. The Packers run defense has been pretty good this year. But there have been some moments late in games where the run defense has worn down, and that's something that they will not be able to afford in Chicago. We saw Ezekiel Elliott for the Cowboys. Not that he doesn't do that to a lot of teams, but late in the game, Ezekiel Elliott really got things going for Dallas. We saw Joe Mixon with Cincinnati. We saw the New Orleans Saints with Ingram and Kamara with their running game. Late in the game, the Packers' run defense was breaking down in those ball games, and that's something that as stout as this run defense has been early in pretty much every game this year, they need to be able to carry it through four quarters against this team.
Yeah, and you have to be able to do it for four quarters, as you just said. And now you look at Chicago, what they have offensively. I mean, they've built this team now around really that offensive line. And in signing Josh Sitton a year ago, Kyle Long is one of the best in the league at that guard position, a really good 1-2 punch there. I think Cody Whitehair has really stepped in well and kind of shown that that's his natural position there at center now. So they've had some building blocks there to work around. And obviously, they've done a good job of opening holes for Jordan Howard, despite the fact I think a lot of defenses now know that they're not always going to have to keep two high safeties. They're going to be able to drop a guy into the box and be able to sell out a little bit more for the run. The fact that the Bears have been able to still be successful despite that, I think says a lot about what those guys up front, what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I think with when you look at this game too, with Chicago coming off of the bye week and having made the switch at quarterback a few weeks ago, this is one of those instances where I think the Packers defense has to be ready for some unscouted looks. Right. I think the Bears having some extra time the bye week, they may put some things in for Trubisky that that maybe haven't been shown yet, haven't been part of their game plans to this point. And the Packers are going to have to do some adjusting on the fly defensively.
Unequivocally. I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing is the adjustments they make off of it, because you have to imagine with how much the Bears do run the ball, in the long term, what they're trying to do is set up some big play pass opportunities for Trubisky. They've been there sporadically. He's only completing about 48% of his passes right now. But he's shown this year, and they've shown that they aren't afraid to take a shot. It's just the consistency side of it is sort of what's been lacking in Chicago.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, we're going to talk about the Chicago defense after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, when we talk about the Chicago Bears defense, you're talking about a unit that doesn't have, you know, the superstar names. There isn't the Brian Urlachers of the world, you know, on the Chicago Bears defense anymore necessarily. But you look at the body of work in the 2017 season, this unit held up pretty well against Atlanta. It held up pretty darn well against Pittsburgh, two pretty good teams. It essentially won a game all by itself against the Carolina Panthers with two defensive touchdowns and then completely shutting down right. Cam Newton. This is a unit for all of its, you know, no-name roster, you might say. And I don't mean that as an insult by any means, but you're just not talking about guys the way you talked about Brian Urlacher, Charles Tillman right. in the past. This is a pretty stout unit.
Yeah, there's nobody with a peanut moniker, if that's what you're asking. Yeah, it is. And it's actually somewhat veteran. That's what's kind of an interesting thing to how they've approached this deal in Chicago over these last few years. This offseason in particular, they really dedicated themselves to the offensive side of the ball and trying to get better. Adam Sheehan, the tight end that they drafted, was one of the big darlings throughout the pre-draft process. Baby Gronk, as a lot of people called him.
Okay.
But the backside of that is, other than Eddie Jackson, they really didn't draft a whole lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. Jackson's a great player. Safety out of Alabama, has a history with HaHa Clinton Dix. We talked about that in their first matchup, but he's really emerged in that secondary as one of the go-to guys. But in the trenches, a lot of guys that they built around. Akeem Hicks, obviously a free agent signing for a number of years ago. McPhee, Eddie Goldman was a pick for them. Leonard Floyd is a guy I've always been really high on. I think fits Vic Fangio's scheme well. They're just gamers. And then obviously you can talk about Danny Trevathan. I'm sure that's going to be a big storyline this week as well. So they've really built themselves. Prince Amukamara coming in this offseason. They've signed a lot of outside talent to rebuild that defense there, and it's working for them so far this season.
Yeah, and you mentioned they have done it with draft picks as well, with guys like Floyd
right.
and Eddie Goldman, you know, in that defensive front seven. From a pass rush standpoint, I believe when I looked at the stats, I believe they have 23 sacks defensively through eight games, which is not an eye-popping number by any means.
Right.
Solid pass rush, though. And when you look at it, Akeem Hicks has 7 sacks. Leonard Floyd has 5. That's 12 of the 23. So half of those sacks coming from two guys. So you know the two guys that you've got to try to take away and keep them away from the quarterback.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. You got to remember, the scheme that they run there is very parallel to what Dom Capers runs. I say it every time these two teams meet, and especially back during the days of San Francisco when Fangio was there. I mean, Fangio's a disciple of Capers. He was with them in both of his head coaching stops. So the point I'm trying to make make there is the fact that Akeem Hicks as a defensive end has 7 sacks right now in the season tells you how impactful he is, because that's typically not where you're always getting all your pass rush from.
Yeah.
Usually it is from Leonard Floyd. Usually it is from those outside backers. So the fact that they haven't been getting as much production there, but they've been able to sort of produce that from the defensive line has been huge for them. And Akeem Hicks, I think when you look back at that signing and obviously making that investment to him, it's fit really well and arguably I think could be considered their best one.
Yeah, you mentioned Eddie Jackson before, the safety out of Alabama. Was he the guy who had the 2 touchdowns against Carolina? I think he was. One was a deflected interception that he took 75 yards or something, and then another one he scooped up a fumble and went the length of the field for a score. That was really arguably the biggest win for the Bears this season, although they also do have a, if I'm not mistaken, overtime victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was impressive as well, considering where the Steelers are right now. So, but as I said, this is a secondary that's changed a bit over the years. You know, Charles Tillman's not there. Guys like Mike Brown and those staples from the early decade of the 2000s when the Bears were building around the defense. None of those guys are there, but yet this defense still has shown an ability to take the football away. Packers have done a good job with Brett Hundley at protecting the football here in his 2 starts. Just the 1 interception against the New Orleans Saints late in the game in Hundley's 2 starts, and the Packers are going to need to continue that because you start turning it over, these guys are definitely going to capitalize.
Oh yeah, I mean that's going to be the biggest thing in this contest is which form of that zone blitz scheme is the one that comes up being successful. I want to touch on quickly, you mentioned Eddie Jackson, and again we've talked about him in the past, but just how impressive this is that this guy started all 8 games for the Bears this season. This isn't just a rookie. This is a guy that last October broke his leg at Alabama. There was questions about whether or not he'd be drafted at all because of the nerve damage and the issues of coming back from that injury. I think he ended up being the 4th round. I'm doing that over the top of my head. And he stepped in. He's recovered from that injury and really become a pretty solid player in that secondary. Not an all-star, not a Pro Bowler by any means right now, but I think really has been a big plus for them. Getting back to your original point with not having a Peanut Tillman, not having a Mike Brown, you're absolutely right. Kyle Fuller really never became that guy either after they invested a first-round pick into him. But they've sort of pieced this all together. I think Amukamara made sense for them coming from Jacksonville, bringing a little bit more of a veteran presence in there. I still think they have holes there. There's things that can be exploited, but they're just a bunch of gamers, I think, is really the biggest feeling I have with them. And for them to have the performance they've had so far this season with not always getting a lot of help from their offense in the passing game says a lot about what Fangio's been able to do with that group.
Yeah, and this is a defense you know they're going to be fired up.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to be in front of their home crowd, as I said, coming off the bye week. They look at this next little stretch of their schedule with the Packers not having Aaron Rodgers. They look at this as their opportunity to get back to 500 over these next couple weeks and try to keep themselves in the wild card race here. This Chicago Bears team, even though 3-5 at the moment, they are not just playing for next year, so to speak. They're still playing for right here and right now with their developing quarterback and a defense that's been pretty opportunistic.
And they want to show progress. You wouldn't have signed Mike Glennon this offseason if you didn't want to take a step forward. It didn't happen right away, but I think they're proving that they are by far not a pushover right now in this race, not only in the NFC North, but the NFC in general.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, we heard from Mike McCarthy on Tuesday, his follow-up press conference to the Monday night loss to the Lions. Got some bad news, unfortunately, that Brian Bulaga is out for the season with a knee injury, a very significant injury, unfortunately, for him. And also finding out that that safety Morgan Burnett is at least out for this week. Mike McCarthy not giving a timeline on Burnett's groin injury, but saying he will not be available for Chicago on Sunday. But the larger message, I think, from McCarthy the day after the loss to the Lions was when he said, hey, we've had this injury with Aaron Rodgers, and nobody on this team, no individual group on this team has stepped up and stepped to the forefront to define who's really going to lead this team from here on out. And the Packers are waiting for that that leadership in the form of some position group or some phase of the team to emerge.
Yeah, Mike, if you and I had the equipment, the technology to be able to throw up the first episode you and I did after Aaron Rodgers, it was announced that he had the collarbone injury and was going to miss an extended period of time, we both said it's going to be on everybody to step up. And I think the issue for the Packers has been so far, and I don't want to say any guys haven't elevated their games. It's not like these guys aren't trying, but it is making plays. And I really do feel, and I said this even going into the Lions game, I thought they were close to getting sacks. I thought those were close to coming. It didn't happen.
No.
I thought they were close to being able to get some of those big play opportunities defensively. It didn't happen. I thought the downfield passing game, you know, was going to open up a little bit more. For the most part, it didn't happen. I just think, like, if that happens, if one of those dominoes falls, you really can extract that energy from every single position. Guy gets a big play. You look at Demaryius Randall, the interception return for a touchdown.
Sure.
The life that infuses into a football team. That's what the Packers are searching for right now. Because I really do believe, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, those things happen, big plays happen, everybody else follows suit.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is a matter of one domino starting to fall, but it also has to be, you know, some of those dominoes in all phases.
Right.
It needs to be, you know, whether it's Trevor Davis breaking a punt return or whether it's, as you said, somebody getting a big interception on defense, you know, the offense making a big play. We talked about it on yesterday's show that the big play on offense, the spark just didn't come until the fourth quarter when you hit Randall Cobb and all of a sudden you cover half the field in one play and there's some energy in the team. There's some energy in the offense. And these kinds of things need to play off of one another. You know, the Packers get the missed field goal, 55-yard field goal hits the crossbar. So you've got great field position on the 45-yard line. You go three and out. You know, the defense gets a fumble recovery from the Detroit Lions. The offense goes three and out. The same type of thing. The offense does score a touchdown early in the fourth quarter. You're back in the game at 20-10. And then the Lions go 75 yards in four plays for another touchdown and put the game away. So it's the one side not playing off of the other and things just aren't happening in sync. And that's what Mike McCarthy's talking about when he says somebody needs to step up, because when one side does something good, then the other side needs to follow suit.
Absolutely, Mike. And that is really when you talk, I know I got a lot of questions this week in the insider inbox, you know, why is Trevor Davis taking out some of these kickoff returns? Do it. Make a play.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with it right now.
Yeah.
Give your offense field position.
This team needs a spark.
So, if they end up being at the 16, 17, 18, 21, whatever, it's worth it to try getting the extra yardage. I think when you look at all phases, as you said, you have to be more consistent across the board, but you also have to look for those opportunities. If you think you have an opportunity to make a play, go for it, because that's what this team is going to need. That's what happened in 2013 when Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. Jared Boykin stepped up.
Yep.
Matt Flynn stepped up.
Yep.
Those are the players that can make a difference for you.
Yeah.
And not right now, but in general. Those
yeah,
type of guys.
Right. And the Packers need to find those for 2017 here over the next several weeks. So with that, let's take care of a little sponsor business, Wes. Today is a perfect day to fill up with some new Campbell's Chunky Max soup. Chunky Max is loaded with more meat than you can handle, a lot more. We're talking 40% more than a comparable chunky soup. So go on, fill up with new Campbell's Chunky Max soup. Campbell's Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford, next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, I'm going to throw a trivia question your way here to close the show today.
Okay.
It's been a long time since a quarterback for the Packers, other than Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, has started a game against the Chicago Bears. Do you know when and do you know who?
All right, so it'd be pre-1992. It's only a 30-minute show. I probably need to speed this up. I'll go with Anthony Dilwig.
That's a good shot.
Thank you.
That's a good shot at it. But it was 1991, as you said, with Brett Favre.
Was it 91?
Yeah, with Brett Favre taking over in 92. So it was 1991, and it was actually a former Chicago Bears quarterback, Mike Tomczak.
Oh.
He was the last Packers quarterback other than Favre or Rodgers to start against the Bears. And you may wonder, well, why weren't we talking about this with the Vikings and the Lions? Well, when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone in 2013, mm-hmm. he missed a game against the Vikings, and he also missed one against the Lions. But the injury occurred against the Bears, so he started that game, and then obviously he returned against the right. Bears in Week 17 with the big touchdown pass to get the Packers into the playoffs. So Favre and Rodgers have not missed a Chicago Bears game since 1991, before Favre was even here. And Brett Hundley with a chance to make a little history here on Sunday in Chicago.
It's remarkable, and obviously it's a big opportunity for Brett Hundley. I know a lot of people have been asking this past week about this Packers offense and where things stand. Mike McCarthy still has a lot of faith in him. I think a lot of people in that locker room have faith in him. You need to get things going earlier. We understand that. You need the big plays to happen earlier. Maybe you have to take a few more chances. Maybe you have to trust the pocket a little bit more. But whatever the case may be, Brett Hundley is the way forward for this offense. They're rallying behind this guy. And even whatever the outside perception is, I think inside that locker room, there's still a lot of confidence in his ability to get this ship steered back in the right direction.
Yeah, I think in both of these starts for Hundley, the Saints game and the Lions game,
right.
as I mentioned, I think, on yesterday's show, they both started out very positively. You have a touchdown against the Saints with Aaron Jones breaking the long run. You had a positive drive, a really impressive drive, actually, moving the chains, keeping things going. Yeah, you bogged down at the 20-yard line, and then unfortunately you missed the field goal on the bad snap, which had nothing to do with Hundley. But aside from the results, what you have to do then is be able to keep going after that first drive.
Right.
When the first 15 thoughts, the first 15 play script or whatever you want to call it has sort of been exhausted and you've gone through that, then you have to be able to continue and build on what you've done. And that's what's been missing, because in the middle of these games, the second, third quarter, there's been a lull offensively where the Packers have really struggled to get anything going.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy said, too, that is actually the best representation of how the practice is going, he feels, is how they come out in those first 15 plays. They've built momentum on both of those. Now, I don't know exactly all that goes into transitioning that into the rest of a football game.
Right.
But there is an opportunity there for the Packers, and they have to make sure they take advantage of it.
Yeah, and we'll be able to talk about that more as the week continues. But for now, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.